Hello, and welcome to Enough Wicker, a podcast where two friends wax intellectual about the greatest television show of all time, The Golden Girls. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Sarah.
And today we're tackling the 179th and 180th episodes, the final episodes in the series, One Flew Out of the Cuckoo's Nest, parts one and two. The
The end. It's been real,
end.
guys. Thank you and good night. Take care, everybody.
The Golden Girls was
Wow.
good. The actors
We're
were good.
here. Especially Lauren Kelly. The others were good too. Yeah. Wow. How do you feel? It was crazy.
It really feels wild. Well, the one thing that the first thing I'll say, I guess, is that the amount of times I've seen the finale with parts one and two watched consecutively, is not a lot. I feel like probably like
Right.
five, maybe. They never show, in my recollection, they never show these on TV. And I'm sure that's wrong because I feel like they probably just ran it and it like, throughout syndication.
Right,
But I
yeah.
just feel like the amount of times that I like caught the finale, especially like through like parts one and two, it not very often.
Yeah.
So it's, certainly not my first time seeing it, but I do feel like I had fresher eyes with this one than a lot of other episodes.
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily had fresher eyes because I have watched this one a lot, and I do watch it when I'm like, I need a good little emotional cry. like to like especially part two, obviously. But I think that it there were so many things surprising to me, which of course we'll get into, just about everything from the way it was shot to like how Leslie Nielsen actually was as Uncle Lucas to just the sort of meta-ness of like B leaving the series, B leaving the show in the character sense. I mean, there was a lot that I picked up on. I think that I was really surprised that was part of it. So, I think it's really great. I think it's one of those things where TV show finales are so hard, and especially with such a following, right? Like you're always going to have somebody criticize you for not doing it well or not doing it right. And I think that there's like parts of it that are, I guess, disappointing. And it's interesting knowing that like when you watch this live, you didn't know that the Golden Palace was coming, really. You know what I mean? Like that there wasn't like some reasoning of like putting the three of them together on their own. But so it is a really sad break up the band kind of note to end on, but also like the reflection of the show and the past 7 years is really lovely. And I don't know, maybe I'm a sucker for closings and like actual closure, but it really does it for me.
No, I agree. I really like it too. And I really like that they didn't do a clip show. I feel like that's
Yeah.
like kind of the way they could have gone,
Yeah.
which I think would have been disappointing. I really like it a lot too. And I like, as I said, like I was watching, it just like not as well versed in it. And
Yeah.
I literally have in my notes like this is a really good finale. It's real like it's
Yeah.
funny. They're all very true to their characters. There's obviously like a bit of I don't know, like unrealistic scenarios when like they fall in love and get married, but actually like I don't feel like that's as out of the realm of possibility as some of the other things that we've seen. So like I don't even think it's
Yeah.
totally like not plausible.
Yeah.
And finales are sad. And yeah, like I think to your point, like you're always going to have some criticism. And actually, like I did want to. So I was looking things up about this. And one of the things I found was a Reddit thread that's just called, like, why don't people like the finale?
Oh, weird.
And some of the critiques
The
have.
only criticism I know about the finale is the toilet paper dress. That's
Okay,
like the
so
only.
yeah, exactly. That's in here a lot. There's a lot of Reddit users complaining about that, which is fair, but
That's
also,
not a
like,
reason to
who
not like the whole
cares?
thing. Yeah, come on. It's the fucking 90s, man. Be Arthur
Some
Dance with
people,
Urkel. What do you want?
I know, right? Some people are say like, oh, Dorothy deserved better than a rushed relationship. Like, some people
But I think
wanted
they
her to end up with
counter that. I think they
Stan.
counter that with all of the well, yeah, ending up Stan, I think. But I think one, they have a Stan moment to counter those people. which is smart. And two, they have multiple times where they have moments where, you know, like they have that beautiful exchange where they're like, it feels like we've known each other a lot longer than 3 days.
Yeah.
Right. I like, so I think that they actually like the writers, I feel like they anticipated some of this criticism.
Yeah.
And they did it well, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And I think even like, you know, I don't know, maybe this is a weird example to bring up, and I'm kind of surprised it took me to the finale to bring up Titanic, but in Titanic, you know, which
is
like
the first time?
It can't be.
4 years?
which is, you know, so celebrated as this like epic love story and this like,
yeah,
in a word, like perfect film. They're only on the boat for like a few days, and we all accept that like
totally.
They're in love, you know? So,
Exactly.
And I, you know, I'm not, I accept that. I think that also like sometimes it happens kind of fast, and like, obviously it's a little bit kooky to get married that quickly, but also like they're older and they kind of know what they want. And like, that doesn't bother me at all. And I think like, I don't know. I think the performances are all really good. It ends on a really sad note.
I was shocked about that. I just, it literally just ends with them sobbing, fade out, and then the music starts. You're like, holy shit.
Pretty dark.
But back to the get married that fast kind of thing. Like, are these people who have watched this show before? Literally, Blanche is going to get married the first episode. And, you know, as we also alluded to in the notes episode collection that we did, you know, like Susan Harris is very big on like, all right, let's go. Let's get married. Let's like have a super big commitment. That happens at least six other times throughout the series, right? So it's not, this is not like something that the girls don't already do. And I think it is telling because of the age. And again, Lucas says it. He's just like, I don't have the luxury of waiting, you know? And when you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which
they
think
really
is real.
Play it so well, they both do. So in the Colucci book, I think we should jump in, but so in the Colucci book, they talk about how there's a Mary Tyler Moore show, which is sort of widely regarded as a really great season, series finale. There is this hug scene, this like group hug scene. And the writers were basically like, we want something like that, which feels so fitting. And obviously like Mary Tyler Moore doesn't own the group hug, you know, and neither do the Golden Girls, but like, I think they're both pretty iconic scenes, and kind of like, how else do you end an ensemble show? You know, like, I don't feel like there's a better way. And the show was so widely watched. So I looked this up. I couldn't find a more updated ranking than 2016, but I do have the number, which is the series finale of The Golden Girls was watched by 27.2 million viewers. And as of a list that was made in 2016, it was the 17th most watched television finale ever. And I did find a couple more like newer lists, but none of them went so far. And I didn't see any that would have knocked them out of their spot, based on like the actual viewing numbers. So, you know, I'll say like a lot of people were watching.
Totally. I mean, yeah, a big, big, big deal. And I think you're right that it's so nice that they gave it a dedicated two-parter as opposed to a clip show first half or something, right?
Yeah.
Like to tell the story. So it's really nice. But I also did a little digging, not on a Reddit thread, but found like a fan site. I could not corroborate this anywhere else, so take that with a grain of salt, but somebody on the internet claims that the plot was actually partially based on Susan Harris and her husband Paul Junger Witt, because they actually tried to like, they pretended to be married to prank Mitchell Hurwitz, right, the writer producer, at like on a trip to Italy or something, and then I guess Mitchell was like, oh, it's gonna happen for you too, or like something like that, and then they did actually eventually get married. So like,
wow.
some kind of real, you know, real life connection thing, which is kind of hilarious, to speak to the pranking part, you know, which I also love. I mean, you know, we'll get into it, but I think it makes a lot of sense from a getting back at Blanche kind of situation. But also just one more thing about Mitchell Hurwitz, like he was reflecting on the finale in this interview, and like basically said like they kind of designed it to be a tribute to B, right? B was the one leaving the show you know, we've talked about how she didn't like the way her character was going or being written, and you know, it was just time. And I think that, like, she was, so Mitch Hurwitz says she was really moved by the last episode, and she wrote me this lovely note about it, and that was really a privilege. I always felt lucky to be there at all, and to be given a chance to write something that was meaningful for her was really special. And, you know, he says he wanted to go even further with, like, the Bea Arthur, like, comes back for all the hugs. He's like, I wanted to have, like, the credits start to play and have them, like, have her come in and, like, go over the lanai wall. Like, you know, he said he wanted it to be, like, kind of goofy, which is kind of interesting, right? As we were just talking about how depressing the ending actually is, where she doesn't come back. She actually gets in the car to go to the airport. But I just really, I love this because I love that Bea loved it, but it's so meta. It's like, she's leaving the show, you know, she's leaving as Dorothy's Bornak for her friends for the last, you know, 7 years to start a brand new chapter. And it's just cool. It's like, I love that we're also reflecting on this, and this is the end of our podcast, you know, for the most part. And, like, having these moments be highlighted where it's like, Bea Arthur was really saying goodbye in those lines that she was speaking.
Yeah.
Is really, really, really cool.
Yeah, well, they also say that in the Kaluuya book. And I feel like with other, you know, like, other interviews and info about the finale, is like, they're really crying. Like, the tears are really real. And, you know, like,
yeah,
they said that Bea couldn't get through a table read without crying. And it's like, you know, that's all real. It totally makes sense. And I think that's also why I like the finale so much, is because it is so true to life. And, you know, I'm sure the girls at this point knew that Golden Palace was coming. And, you know, I will say, like, I think it's emotional to leave the house where they lived. I am not undercutting that at all. But, like, Dorothy and Sophia are probably going to, like, I imagine they'll see each other very soon. And I also have to imagine that, like, now Blanche and Dorothy are, you know, like, they could go to Hollingsworth Manor anytime, which will be in the new Cape Cod style. So even though it's so sad, like, it's not, it doesn't feel like the door is closing, you know, if you have to imagine the relationship that exists between the women themselves, like, which I think is kind of nice. It's not like, oh, I'm leaving forever. You know, it's like, I'm leaving to go start this new chapter of my life, but also, like, there's still threads, I guess, that connect them. So there's, you know, you can imagine that they kept in touch at the very least.
Oh, of course, of course. But I think it's like, this goes back to the kind of person I am, and I want to hear your reflection on this too, where it's like, you can look at it saying, like, yeah, you're leaving, but, like, you'll see each other.
Yeah.
Or you can have, like, a really, like, yeah, we will see each other, but this is a moment. This is totally changing my day to day. And, like, I'm literally moving to a new state, a new place. You guys won't be so close anymore, right? You're not going to be literally in my home anymore. And no matter how hard you try, it will be different. And I think, like, that's why I love and appreciate, like, marking moments of time and having closure for a certain location or a certain arrangement or, like, whatever, like, any type of, like, life moving on. It's really nice to kind of sit and just be like, okay, this is ending, something new is beginning. I don't know, that's just how my mind has been. So that's why I really appreciate that acknowledgement, even if, yes, they're obviously gonna see each other.
No, I think that's fair.
Make a mess of something.
Their lives are different. I think, like, that's the particularly Dorothy, but the rest of them too. Like, it's different when you live with your friends and now you don't. And I think, yeah, like, she's moving to a new place. She's moving to, you know, like, a totally different, her day to day will be totally different. And so I think that, like, yeah, it's totally fair to mark that. And I appreciate marking that as an end. But I think it just kind of softens it. As, like, I think it softens it to, like, know they're going to come. And also, like, on a, you know, zooming out, like, to know that Dorothy's even going to visit Golden Palace.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But in the like, marking the moment thing, I actually, this is another thing that surprised me about rewatching. I forgot that the whole episode opens with, like, a super silent, just Rose and Sophia sipping coffee scene. And it's so funny because it's like, just sipping and sighing, you know, like enjoying the silence. They make a joke of it, of course, but it is actually kind of an awesome little melancholy, like kind of nod to the audience, like, well, we're finally here. You know what I mean? Like that's how I read it, which was kind of awesome. And obviously I might be editorializing slightly, but looking at it through the eyes of this is the finale, it was actually kind of awesome to like start with a quiet moment like that.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, I have in my notes that like Betty does like a little shrug, like, you know, that feels knowing. Yeah. And it does feel like a little wink wink to the audience.
Right.
And yeah, it's really nice to kind of start it out. And I feel like there have been actually like a few episodes where, not exactly like a backdoor pilot for Golden Palace, but I definitely think we've seen them testing out like the dynamic without Dorothy. And like, you know, trying to play with that a bit. So yeah, it's really nice to see them. And yeah, there's definitely a feeling, I think, when it opens, of like everyone, you know, everyone knows what's going on here.
I didn't even think about the fact that like they're sort of playing with like just other character combinations, right?
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. That's pretty smart, Lauren.
Yeah, thanks. It's an intellectual podcast. And I like, again, so like go back to, which I feel like is like my general position is like, I really love that they wrote an original script that is so in line with what we've seen before. We've seen Blanche try to pawn men off on Dorothy when she wants to go out with someone else. So I really love that she comes in and she's like, it just feels very, you know, for all of my my notes in prior episodes where I'm like, eh, that feels out of character for this person, or like, I, you know, all of this feels relatively in character, except for there is something that I will say I find to be so egregious and I don't like the choice, but it gets resolved. And anyway, when she's talking about Uncle Lucas and, you know, she's trying to like figure out what to do with him, her nearest and dearest relative. And then like Sophia comes in and goes like, con Dorothy into it. Like, I love that. I really think that that starts out so strong.
It's perfect. It's really great. A one night stand only happens one night, which is kind of funny because I'm like, when she actually drops that joke, I'm kind of like, I do agree with that, actually.
Yeah, you got a joke
once in a lifetime.
There.
Where do you get your nerve? Ironically, from Uncle Lucas.
That's a good line.
I love it so much. I really, really, really like Dorothy's, I mean, to your point of like character development, right? Like Blanche being like, oh, come on, please, like do this favor for me. Which is also funny because everything has to be a date, right? As opposed to like, can you just entertain my uncle? Like, it doesn't have to be a date. Like, it's very strange. Like when Rose comes back, you're just like, oh, you know, women and men can't be friends. But I really love like Miss Lana Turner, and she comes out, it's like, it's Lana with a message from Dorothy, whatever the favor is, forget it, you know, have I got a man for you? No thanks, had one.
Yeah,
a man
good.
Of cultivation and high taste. Oh yes, I'm sure he wipes the jug on his sleeve before he passes it. Man, it is just bam bam bam. It's so awesome.
It's good.
And again, an amazing showcase for Bea Arthur, right? And like literally Blanche just actually wears her down. That's the whole reason she says yes. Like, just get off my back, I just fucking woke up, you know.
Yeah.
Genius.
No, it's so good. It's just like, so it's such a comfortable dynamic too. Like, I already know what you're asking me for and I'm not gonna do it.
That's what's so incredible about the show, because it just shows the, you know, like, for like sibling spats, really, right? Like, you don't talk to decent friends like this, right? You talk to really good friends like this. I think it's like really kind of fascinating and how it plays out. But yeah, I everything about how she sort of ends up on this quote-unquote date with Uncle Lucas drinking beer, which is funny to me,
and like
at the crab place,
which
is so great.
Like, that's a tough spot for a date. Like, I, first of all, I would love to go there.
I mean, me too. The googly eyes on the crab.
Yeah, they do a really good job, like, playing awkward in the beginning. I mean, it's definitely, like, overdone, obviously. Like, it's supposed to be a little over the
top.
Well,
that's what's funny to me. Because you're just like, what is the date? Like, just fucking talk and hang out.
I know. You could
you
just
own
like,
seven
what
hardware
do you do
stores.
For work?
Like, yeah.
A
divorced substitute teacher.
But I think that when Dorothy's like, oh, he's a little bit country and I'm a little too smart for this. And like, you know, I think she's picturing Big Daddy, which is fair. Like, of course, I wouldn't want to go out with him either, you know, that and like, there's a lot, there's a couple jokes, which I actually think are done really well of like Dorothy kind of dunking on the South or, you know, like hosting something on like the anniversary of
Oh,
Lee's surrender.
incredible.
It's like,
Oh my
it's
God.
so good.
So good. Also, like, when Leslie Nielsen goes, never see you again, I buy a julep for the ghost of General Grant before I let that happen. And she
He's still
goes, oh, I was
southern.
hoping you'd say that.
Yeah.
I mean, incredible. Also, though, like, let me back up and just say the first time Leslie Nielsen speaks, I'm like, wow, he actually has a really deep and sexy voice. Like, I did not realize I was very taken aback. Like, I do not particularly like Southern accents, like in terms of like an attractive element, but just the like the actual tone and timbre of his voice of
Yeah,
his like
it's pretty
it's really
subtle.
great.
I feel like
Yeah, but
the
it's like so deep. Yeah,
he doesn't have like a
he
Blanche
doesn't, yeah.
level twang.
No, until he like stretches it when he's like a Brooklyn Italian, you know.
Yeah, that's funny.
Incidentally, isn't how many fucking houses do they have? First of all, Big Daddy sold it and then they blew it up. Like, how many Hollingsworth Manors are there?
Well,
I
that was
need to know.
Grammy's plantation, which could have
All right,
been
fair. But didn't
separate.
Big Daddy sell it when he was doing his country music career?
Yeah,
Did
I
they
thought
get
he
it
didn't, but
back?
maybe Uncle Lucas, who seems to be much like a much
Yeah,
more
he's
together and less,
level-headed.
less,
Little flighty, little floozy.
yeah, than Big Daddy. Like maybe he bought it back or something. He also seems like, you know, quite a bit younger. So maybe there's multiple Hollingsworth Manors. But I also like love so much that like this is Blanche's best friend. And the fact that she's like a Brooklyn Italian, one, I love that she refers to her
I know.
that way in her letters. It's like so funny to imagine that. But that she would have such a problem with Dorothy like living there is like, okay, I like it. I like the plot, whatever, but I just don't really see it. In you know, in practice, I guess, of her having that trouble. But I really,
Well, I
it's
think
just so good.
he's kind of making fun of her, right? Like where
Yeah,
they're imagining
totally.
what Blanche would say, and like there always is this initial like feigning shock of like mixing of the North and South, I guess, you know, or like
Yeah, Benjamin,
no
who could forget?
purebred. But yeah, don't forget Benjamin and don't forget Feldman from Buffalo. I mean, come on. So
Yeah.
I think it's just on the surface. I think that they're playing with that. So I think for me, but to your point, she absolutely refers to Dorothy as the Brooklyn Italian that she lives
That's
with. And
funny.
you're just like, oh my God. It's pretty great.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, it's just played for laughs and it does really, really work. But yeah, and you know what else? Like when Uncle Lucas, when they basic, which again, like time to call it off when Rose says she's gonna move out and all of these things are happening. And they
I
realize that
know,
they've
Jesus
gone,
Christ.
they yeah, with that's the thing I don't like. But when they realize they've gone too far, I think it's also really great when he's like, no, we can't just tell her because you know Blanche, which I think is really accurate. Like Blanche is
I
not quick to
know.
forgive.
Totally.
And
You're
so I
right.
thought that that was a really good note. And that's why I think it's so fun because like when they're doing these like little jabs about like the South or like, you know, whatever they're doing, like how they're going to change things and move in and all of that. Like they're both on the same page. And I think that like there's a real chemistry between Leslie Nielsen and Bea Arthur that's like it really reads to like as what they're playing, as like people who just kind of like
Yes.
started doing this one thing that like connected them and then they continued, you know, like it feels friendshipy until it feels romantic, which I think is really nice.
Yeah, I think that's right, that the connection point of like essentially getting back at Blanche for like lying to both of them, as opposed to just saying, "Hey, can you guys hang out? I have a date." Like that. They might be miffed, but lying about how they both had a desperate desire to meet each other or whatever is like, you know, it's definitely worthy of the payback that they're planning. But I think you're right. It all flows so naturally, and the writing being so good of how they both know Blanche very well gives them that nice bonding opportunity Which of course then transforms, you know, their relationship, which is really cool. But I really, so back to the whole like them being on a date thing, like according to Rose and Blanche or whatever, like where Blanche goes, go on, don't leave anything out. And I was like, first of all, are you going to have like sex gossip about your uncle? I know you're horny, Blanche, but come on, this is really weird.
Yeah.
That was like one of the weirdest parts of the entire thing. You're like, did you forget? Oh my God. But I really, really, really love when they're being so over the top and like they do the nose kissing and then like she's like, ears now. It's so goofy, but so fucking funny. I think he's going to ask her out again.
Yeah.
Blanche is head shaking and all the facial expressions though with the fake proposal is incredible to me. I mean, it's really, really well done. And just like the Blanche idea of like, of, oh my God, what have I done? Right. Is like really incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Bordak.
I know.
When Rose says, I think he's going to ask her out again. That's so funny. But then
she's so giddy.
Like, goes back to Lucas and then looks like does a look back at
looks
Rose.
Back at Rose, I know.
So good. And like that's like again, like not to keep harping on that, but like that's what makes this finale so good for me is like it just at parts it just feels like a good episode of the Golden Girls. And like that's what I want. Like I don't you know I like the punctuation of the goodbye, but I don't want the whole thing to be like not feel like an episode. You know what I mean? Like I feel like sometimes finales are too dramatic or too like have each character say goodbye to each other and then have like the big goodbye at the end. Like I don't want that. I want it to be this like I want there to be really funny moments. I want there to be lines. I want there to be like the exchanges that we expect and then a goodbye at the end, which I really think they do. And I think that's just like such a good example of that. Like that scene of Rose saying, I think he's going to ask her out again, and B. Arthur giving her that look and then like giving her the second look, like that could be in any episode.
Exactly. Exactly. I also love the, like they don't, you know, again, to your point of like the not like we don't have each separate character, you know, saying things or saying goodbye. We do get like a little sliver of how everyone is like coping or not, I guess, like thinking about it, because honestly, even before, you know, like Rose has this whole like, I'm going to move out before they even sort of confess, you know, or not confess, but like have the moment where it's for real. Like Rose's logic of like, oh, everyone's going to be related but me is actually kind of right. And like, it's like not, I think it really calls attention to the fact that like, even if they all consider themselves family, as we saw with when Rose was in the hospital, like society doesn't, right? So there is like this like actual tie that marriage provides, as well as like actually, you know, being blood related to people. And I think it's interesting too, especially with Rose being adopted, is that like she has always been the one most nervous about breaking up the band and moving out, except for that time that she actually moved out, which is, as we talked about, such a ridiculous episode. But anyway,
gotta eat life.
Not a bad cereal. You know, like she's been the one that most worried. And I think that this again rings true for her character of just being like, oh my God, I just thought of another way in which I'm kind of the odd man out. You know what I mean? And then preempting, I think it's also very real for somebody to preempt grief by making the first move, right? It's like pre-breaking up with somebody if you think they're going to break up with you kind of thing. To be like, I'm the one taking the action. I'm going to move in with Kirsten, you know? Which okay, I kind of like because it's very, you know, it's very like connected to, you know, the episode where Kirsten's like, hello, I moved down here. I thought you were going to move in with me.
Yeah. So
it's interesting. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I think that argument helps me, I think, understand why Rose is doing that. I guess for me, it feels a little bit like, not wallowing exactly, but you know, it reminds me of like, it feels like a stubborn
little sad sack.
Yeah. And like, I'm just, you know what, like, why would I even stay here? Like, you guys are all going to be related and like, no one's going to care about me and whatever. And like, maybe that's not giving Rose enough credit, and your like your take is actually what's happening.
Yeah, I'm being more charitable for her. And I don't think it's really a sorry for herself as much as preempting grief.
Yeah, that feels totally right to me. I guess I would still push back on that as a method of like, why are you moving out? Like Blanche is still gonna have
I
this
know.
house and still live here. Like, why don't you guys just
Yeah.
also, didn't you want Dorothy's room anyway? Wasn't that the whole thing in the beginning? Like, why don't you just, you know, like it
On,
feels
Mrs. Rogers. Yeah.
So
No,
I
she didn't want
don't.
Dorothy's room. Dorothy was the short end of the stick. Because remember,
Right,
Blanche,
that's
I mean,
true.
Rose has like a whole fucking couch that Jean slept on.
You are the short
Anyway.
stick.
Yeah.
No. And like that is fair. That is totally fair. But I guess it does feel, and especially like since she's adopted, and my own personal philosophy, which like doesn't like I don't really buy like societal constraints on like marriage makes you a family or blood makes you a family or you know, like
Yeah.
I think I have a really like a far that's like very far from my personal viewpoint. And so I think that I don't love that reaction to it, I guess. And I'm really happy, obviously, at the end when they decide to stay. And then ultimately when Sophia decides to stay, which like I feel like when
I know.
Dorothy has that moment where she's like, you know, Sophia taught me that age doesn't like you life goes on at any age.
Right.
I think that that's really powerful, that whole bit, but also like, yeah, Sophia really has a life here. Like, you know, she's not just buying nectarines. Like she has friends and she has like groups that she does and like she really loves living with Rose and Blanche. So like I get the impulse obviously to like go live with your daughter, especially if she's gonna go live like a rich person. But also
Yeah.
like you don't need to give up your life just because Dorothy's life is changing, you know, which I really, really love. And it's, we talk a lot
Absolutely.
about how like the show is so about older women having lives. But Sophia's not so often the focus of that. And I think it's nice to have her to
You're
have
right. You're
Sophia's in
right.
that this one. Yeah.
That is a really good call out that she's not often the focus of, like, and then it counts for her too, guys, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it, she actually gets to decide. It's funny you brought up the part where she's talking about what she learned from each of them. That's the part actually I probably like least of this whole episode, only because
Where not.
tying a square knot is kind of funny, but like it's also like, again, I want the sentimental schmuck. I want the schmaltz that, you know, like Dorothy actually has like learned and cares about Rose. I feel like that's a very season seven comment about Rose, as opposed to, you know, back when Rose was the comfort for Dorothy when she had chronic fatigue syndrome kind of situation, right? Like where they have those moments. But you know, I let it pass because it is a, you know, it's a decent opportunity to make a joke, and they have to sort of lighten the mood somehow. But yeah, I don't I also think the Rose moment of like, oh, moving out, like where Blanche does, you know, feign independence, I guess, more than the others. And like, I also can see Rose as this completionist where it's like, oh, it's not going to be the same with Dorothy leaving, therefore, like, fuck it all.
Yeah.
Right? Where I feel like there is that compulsion for a lot of people in like a situation where it's like, okay, well, some like one of the threads comes loose, so why don't we just throw the whole thing out, throw the baby out with the bathwater kind of situation. So I can see that too, and I can see Rose being that person and like almost retreating to like a safer space where, like, in her mind, to your point about like a very, you know, a structured, like, this is family, like Kirsten can't ever get rid of her, you know, whereas
Right.
Blanche may be the one most likely to remarry. And Rose would have to go through that again, you know? So that's, I do really understand Rose's deal there. But what I love is when we, like, Blanche comes in and talking about like breaking up the family, right? Like where she's so mad, like right before that, you know, she sort of spies on Dorothy and Lucas having their like genuine moment together about where they have known each other a lot longer than 3 days. When she does her whole breaking up the family speech, it's actually really nice to see Blanche so torn up. Like, I think
Yeah.
we all know she cares, but she does put on a facade more than the others do a lot of the time in terms of like true feelings, and independence. And it's like, it's an awesome moment. Like, it pulls on the right type of heartstring for this episode, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that's also maybe, you know, why my gut reaction to Rose is like, why are you doing this? Because I
Yeah.
do think Blanche. I think that a lot of Blanche's objection to Dorothy and Lucas maybe subconsciously is really about like my life is now going to change and my best friend is moving right. out and like it's wrapped up. I'm not discounting her like her like disparaging comments about a northerner living in Hollingsworth Manor, but I do think she often has trouble expressing what she's really feeling and uses something else to like say this is the problem. Yeah. And totally. I agree. It's really nice to see her so upset about people moving out. And I think that when Rose says she's, you know, going and Blanche is like, oh my God, like why? It feels so real and
yeah.
Vulnerable, which we don't see from her to your point. Like I do think she's often putting on a facade about it. But I think also it's really a big moment when she has like that toast and she's like, I'm going to celebrate this and all of that. Because I think she is accepting the change and also sad about it.
Yes, exactly. I think you're right. But it's like, I also really love the, like when they're having their, like their moment, like the calm moment. Sophia just comes in with a triangle and goes, cocktails.
Yes.
Which is, like, incredible. Like it's a perfect, again, it's a nice balance of like, okay, we're having the like serious moments and the weighty moments because this is the finale and making a point. And then you always have to remind yourself that it is the Golden Girls situation comedy. It's very funny.
So, yeah.
But yeah, I also like the, when Blanche is like, I also love when, you know, you mentioned before where she's like the hoedown we're throwing on the anniversary, Lisa, and then they're like, they're throwing back the barbs and she, you know, she goes, that's so because you've been too busy Yankee doodling.
Yeah.
Which is so great. And the fact that she calls it $1.98 romance.
I know, I love that.
So incredible.
Put that in my memory.
Especially
bank.
Because when we actually see Blanche reading throughout the series, like, you know, it's supposed to be later Lady Chatterley's lover, but it certainly looks like a $1.98 romance from the checkout aisle. But yeah. But when Blanche is giving her toast, like, ugh, Lucas and Dorothy must be feeling so guilty.
Yeah.
Like it's really intense.
Yeah.
Is it my stroke or do they do this already?
It's so great. And like, you know, not to poke so many holes, but it is like, okay, is he going to meet Michael or Kate? You know, like they're just going to get married,
right?
Like once again.
They're just going to do it. See you later.
Yeah. And I really love like the moment that one, I think I also want to point out, especially like as you're emphasizing like your attachment to or your appreciation for a goodbye, like Rose is so mad at Dorothy for not letting her say goodbye, which also is in line with her character, I think.
Love that. Love that. And I will say, at the very end, I love, and I never realized it, honestly, where she goes, is this goodbye?
Oof.
Dorothy, is this goodbye? Rose asks, and then she nods. Oh my God. And she gives her the goodbye. Like, it's so sweet.
It's really sweet.
I never connected those dots before, which I
me neither.
Really,
me neither.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, like, you know, Sophia and has that really nice. And I also kind of like that we have Rose and Blanche are having their moment on the lanai, and then Sophia comes out and, like, you know, it's light, but when she has that goodbye, my girls moment, I really love that we don't really see them talk about the fact that Sophia is going to stay with them, but it kind of explains it, you know, like that moment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, oh my God, I love that scene for so many reasons, but I think it is like a classic, you know, it's like the Sophia, give me a kiss goodnight and a hard candy, except she was afraid I was going to choke on it. Like it is this, like she is this, she nudges them along to show them that Rose shouldn't move out, you know, like it's really cute. And I love, when they walk away from Sophia, they just giggle to each other as they're like, they're leaving. Oh my God, it's the best, right? Like, stay, Rose, this is your family now. And Sophia's sigh is so lovely. I think it's hysterical though, because I always thought, and I thought this time too, she says goodbye, my girls. And like, it would have been so, I think so much more touching had they not shown the actual Polaroid, which is them like looking shocked.
Yeah,
like they've been caught making out. It's kind of funny that they like chose that, because it's not like a zoom in on like a heartwarming them smiling and hugging photo. It's like a almost like, you know, can be read as scandalous.
Definitely.
It's hysterical to me. Oh my God. Oh, so great.
Yeah, and I no, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask what you think of of Sophia's reaction to like the fact that she finds them so like finds Lucas and Dorothy so cute in the Polaroid situation. What do you think of that?
I think it's nice. I think like it's kind of similar to the scene at the end at the wedding when they're first walking and she's like, "Oh, I'm gonna cry," and it's a sneeze,
Yeah,
and
just
then she
sneeze,
really
yeah.
does cry because she really is happy. I think they do a
Yeah.
really good job at like buttoning up the relationship between Dorothy and Sophia, which, as we have talked about a lot, like gets mean. Like there are points where it's mean, and it's really nice to see
Yeah.
Sophia not even like, there's a couple digs here and there, but for the most part, she just like can see, and I think that that also bolsters like the reality of Dorothy and Lucas's relationship is like they obviously really love each other, and it's just they're so good, like they're really so good together, and so like breezy. And I do believe that Sophia would, he kind of checks all of the boxes. But
Yeah.
then also when she has that moment where she's like, "I think I was in the way the first time," like I think that that's also very self-aware, and like obviously Stan was doing his own thing that broke up their marriage, but I think having never been supportive basically and like verbally like voicing your discontent with the situation all the time over the course of 38 years, like that's gonna cause some stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's so true. I think the buttoning up of Sophia and Dorothy's relationship, that you were talking about is like, it's such an incredible scene of like when they're talking about it's been, my great privilege to like get to know you as like
Oh,
to be friends
yeah.
with you as an adult, but your friend is an adult, that's what it is, and to spend these years with you. And she's like, it was my privilege. Oh my God.
I
It's like
know.
absolutely slays me. And then they still get the joke in about like the self-confidence gift.
Yeah, that's so good.
Adorable. But I do like you said, like it's she acknowledges it and you talk about the digs. Like I actually think one of her digs is very funny where she's like, I think he's just nuts enough to show up at the wedding tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's really, really exciting to see her. Because to your point, when she has done like digs at Dorothy when they're mean, it's mostly about her ability to like attract a man or like keep a man or something like that. And it's like, it is a shame that like she has to sort of get that permission from her mother by actually having a man as
Yeah.
opposed to, just being happy single, which she has been. But it's nice that we don't have a big Sophia hullabaloo, I guess, about the acceptance of it. So,
Yeah, I agree. And like I even think it's funny when she's like, "Do you have any money?" And he's like, "Quite a bit." And then she just is like, kind of leans her head on his shoulder. Like, I think
I
that
know. Yeah, teach your
there's
mother
still
to.
some of that.
Yeah, no, of course, of course. Yeah, it wouldn't be she wouldn't be Sophia without it for sure. All right, should we talk about Stan?
Yeah, I do want to talk about Stan as you
Stick
probably
man. Yeah, I
guessed.
know. Devotees will know that Lauren loves Stan. Anyway,
Big Stan head, big sporny head.
my first read on the situation is it's fucking terrifying. She literally doesn't know who's driving that fucking car. Dorothy, why did you get into it? What's going on? This is a kidnapping.
Yeah.
It's actually like, holy shit.
Also,
It's really kind of scary.
aren't normally like people in the limo with the bride? Like I was like, why wouldn't like Sophia or like the bridesmaids be in there?
Yeah, it is a limo.
Right, it's super scary. I will say, like, if there's a miss for me in the finale, I think it's Stan. And the way that I'm really happy that he's in it, I think that that's really key. And I think the reveal of him like driving the limo is funny, like when he puts that down.
Yeah.
I don't. Like, I wish he was a little bit more. I guess I wish that it was a little more like that Dorothy chose to have him there, and
Yeah,
like even
yeah.
when he walks into the church, he looks kind of sad. I just wish that that had had an ending, I guess, and like now they were truly just friends, and like they're not sad about leaving each other, or, you know, there can be like a bit of like melancholy of like, this really means that like there's no chance we're ever gonna do this again. But it doesn't feel like we're getting the best of Stan, I guess. And I kind of wish that we were. And I don't think it would have been that hard. Like Dorothy, when Stan's gonna marry Catherine, for example, that moment that Dorothy has with Catherine is so like, you go into that feeling like, wow, Dorothy's like such a great person. Their relationship has been like mostly repaired, and they still obviously love each other, but like it's a different kind of love. Right. And I guess I don't exactly like, I don't get that to the same level here, and I wish I did.
Well, I think, well, there's a difference between the Catherine one, because Stan literally comes to Dorothy because of his codependency and it's like, hi, I'm getting married. You know, like, right, I'm getting it. Whereas like, she would not be like, hello, Stan. I think more to your point, Michael and Kate, but whatever, we forget about those children. It's fine. But I agree with you for sure on like, I wish that it wasn't so like, oh yeah, hi, ex-husband, forgot to tell you he had to kidnap me in a weird limo situation. But I do think for me, it gets to the point where like, he is sort of like, I have done a little thinking and I just wanted to say this one last time, and I'd be happy to drive you to the church to get married. You know, like, I think he inserts himself in a Stan way that's kind of similar to Dorothy leaving the bar with Catherine, like, hey, let's go to the wedding. You know, like, it's kind of this escort moment where it's like, I have to pause here because this is my last chance, again marking the moment, like, to say something to this effect. And I don't like that when Dorothy's like, you're right, Stan, yeah, this is a different story, right? Like, this is actually us, like, we are together. And I love how, I hate Freud, but I love how she says our beds are crowded. Like, I think that's a really good you know, metaphor for this moment. And I love the joke where he's like, so what are you saying? You slept with this guy? I laughed so hard. That was really, really, really good. And she's like, you know, what I'm saying is thank you. I love that. I don't love that. Yes, he has to force her hand to think about this, because in the whirlwind romance situation, she isn't stopping and like thinking how this affects everybody else in her life, mostly her children, but she doesn't owe Stan anything necessarily. But I'm happy they have it. And I also think, I mean, the hair analogy is kind of weird, but I do like how she plucks it out at the end. As like, here we go. It's really easy. This is all you have to do. And I also love, OJ, I did not remember when she goes, you're psychotic. Like, yeah. Under her breath. Totally forgot that. But I like it. I think the only thing I don't like about that scene is that in the very beginning, where they do the back and forth shots of like her talking to the front of the car and him talking to the back of the car, it totally makes it seem like they didn't film it together. Like, it feels like like modern TV when you're like, oh, well, such and such actor has like a, you know, a conflict. It feels like the, you know, Arrested Development season 4. When like, yeah. Portia de Rossi is like not in any scene, but she's sort of there. It's kind of funny. Like, it was kind of bizarre. I actually was thinking that they didn't film it together until Dorothy actually like moves around to the front and like they actually are like talking to each other. I just didn't. I think it's just awkward filming. I think like the directing is strange.
Yeah, that's fair. The dynamic between them and the conversation like does. I do like it a lot.
It does deliver.
And I really love that the writers, you know, the showrunners were like, okay, we got to get Stan in here somewhere. Like, I think that that's also right. Really nice.
Well, to your point with the Reddit thread, right? Like, they preempted people being like, what about Stickman?
Yeah. And I don't want them to be
Which would have been you.
I don't want them to be together. I don't. I'm not, like, rooting for them to get back together. But I just, you know, I think ultimately it's a redemption arc. I think we see from Stan, and even though he's still like kind of skeezy, like I feel as Dorothy does, which is like, for some reason I just like have a little soft spot for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, I think it's nice. You know, it's funny. I didn't really pick up on the whole him entering the church kind of sad looking. Right.
Yeah.
But it's kind of fascinating.
All right, you want to talk about the church?
Yeah,
the inner
the
monologue.
Slowest walk ever.
We're not Godzilla attacking the city.
I know. I do really like Inner Monologue because you can't say anything in like these stupid fucking wedding arrangements, right? Like it's funny, like the dead seriousness of it all is hilarious. That's why like Dennis and I decided for our wedding to like deliberately have like our reverend, my friend, be like, you guys can like cheer and clap and yell things, like it's fine. Like it's not, doesn't have to be this weird reverence, you know? I think it is funny that in the reverence in a church, right, you're not allowed to say things, and obviously everybody's thinking things, so I do think it's funny. I do really, I cracked up so much with the farmer and the dough with
Yeah.
Rose. I, even though it's so funny, I, in spite of the fact that I really do love Sirius Rose, right? And like to my comment earlier when Dorothy's like the square knot, I was like, oh, come on, Rose deserves better than that, you know? In the same way, I think she deserves like a deep thought about like this whole situation. But I do love the comedy of it. I think it's genius.
Yeah, I think it's so funny, and I love the priest energy, smile, personality.
It's so dorky though. So,
It's dorky, but
I think
it's so funny.
I do like the beginning more than when he like makes the joke and everybody laughs or something. It's like it's
Yeah.
kind of funny, but
Yeah, when he's like,
he's the
I'm
same
the.
priest at Phil's funeral, you know.
Yeah, he's
Same
got a
guy.
market.
You're a woman, right? Just checking.
Yeah.
But I also love Lucas, like, oh, what the heck, I do too. Like, so cute, you know, like basically saving Dorothy from her gaff, because again, you're not allowed to say weird things in the church, like whatever. Like, it's adorable. I think that's very cute, where he's just like, yeah, I don't care. Like, I'm happy to be here, and like whatever goes.
Yeah,
It's
I
it's
agree.
really
It's a
adorable.
really nice, it's a really, really nice scene. And I do think it's really sweet when they cut to Sophia and she actually is crying.
Oh my God,
And
when
the
she says,
girl,
I'll be damned, it's so her, you
yeah, it
know?
is.
So cute. What about Rose repeating after me? That might be my absolute favorite part in the entire church scene.
Cool.
Absolute favorite part.
Pennywise just
I
like killed.
literally just have all caps, ha 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 ha, you know, like in my mind. So great. That might
Ugh.
be, so great. Also, like, power, like, again, you know, showing my cards here yet again for my distaste of organized religion, of like the power vested in me by God and the state of Florida.
No.
It's so, like, hearing that statement is even, I don't even know what. We need a whole other podcast to talk about, but it's very funny.
Yeah, no, it totally is. It's like, and like, I feel like the church production is obviously it's cut, particularly for a Catholic wedding. Oh, brother, it's like 2 hours.
Oh, brother.
But it's funny, like they do a fair amount of like true to life stuff in the church, which I think is good.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then, they go home and they're that's it. Like I feel like the, it's a really great. We see the wedding, but I love that that's also not the very last thing that we see, because like that no one
Oh, I
wants
know.
that. Like we want to see them all together,
Exactly,
so I really
exactly.
appreciate that.
And the fact that like during the wedding it still is like thinking that Sophia's going to come with them, right? Like having, which I think is also the right move, even if like Sophia had come to that decision before, is like she didn't want to make Dorothy worry or like think about it, right? Like it's sort of just like let her have the wedding, let her have like everything's all set up, and then you sort of drop this like somewhat of a bomb, you know, on like my mom's not coming with me. That's a different deal, you know. But like she's like the girls, Rose, Blanche, whatever they are, so cute. But she sort of like immediately accepts it, and I really, really like how Sophia, like any good mother, would spin it. I'd like to sort of say like this is also good for you too. You know, you need to have your life, and you need to like you deserve to have, you know, this essentially carefree relationship, and not have me be that constant like worry or concern in your life, right? You always will be, but like their relationship is a little different now, and Dorothy also can rest assured that her best friends are taking care of her mother when it comes to that.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a really good point of like Dorothy's you know, like existing nervousness or worry about Sophia, which is totally fair as like an elderly mother, is like, it kind of is a best case scenario because she doesn't have to be totally responsible for it. But she also is so close to it. Like, I think, you know, I feel like there's, that's kind of a perfect scenario that like you get to go be a newlywed and like start this new life, like totally fresh.
Yeah.
But also you're right. Very confident in like Blanche and Rose's ability to like,
yeah, the
one,
caregivers.
Care for your mother, and also to let you know if you need to come, you know, like I feel like that's not often, if you like drop her off at a home, for example, like that's not the same level of comfort.
No.
You know, so I think that that's really nice.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it's just like going back to your point earlier about how Sophia herself deserves to have her own life, you know? And just like when Sophia sends her off and she says, like, if it weren't for you and Blanche and Rose, like, I never would have been ready to try, like, to do this and go out on her own like that. And I think that that is the most beautiful. We see such character development from everyone over the course of these 7 seasons, but like, my goodness, that moment of like, we see Dorothy in the very beginning as a completely, like, you know, a freshly divorced, absolutely has not processed the whole situation, feeling, you know, completely like a lack of self-confidence and like not understanding what her path is now in life. And the fact that like it's all sort of been building to this moment where she like really and truly can choose somebody to be her companion and to like take this leap, you know, like it's such a beautiful moment. I love that she articulates it like that. I think that's really amazing.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, you know, like that also is related to Dorothy's inner monologue at the church, which is like, is, I also think is really nice. Is like, yeah, you know, I really love it. Like, I'm really happy to be doing this. And like, I really
totally
feel like good about it. And I think that also like, you know, like that's kind of like the crux of the Dorothy character is like, you can be happy in a different way than like society or like your mother tells you that you can.
Yes, right.
But also, you know, like once you're empowered with that, then like you are choosing, like essentially you just get to choose every part of your life, you know, after that. At least like in terms of the decisions that you make and the direction you go. And I feel like it's just
Right.
so nice to see her so confident in the decision. And like, again, like I really feel like the two of them have such good chemistry, and it's not exactly like sexual chemistry, although of course like that comes up. It does feel like a
Ready,
little,
Freddy.
yeah. I don't know, it does feel truly like a deep like love connection, especially when they are no longer like pranking everyone.
Yes, exactly. And I really do love that it's like he makes the moves, you know? Like,
yeah.
I like that Lucas makes the moves, because for a woman like Dorothy, she needs that. And I also think that there is a certain amount of like, especially in this, like, for a woman of her age and how she's been, you know, hurt by Stan and men in the past, like having him truly like pursue her is something that's important to the way that Dorothy needs to like think about herself, you know, in like a sexual relationship. So I think it's like, but again, it doesn't play as skeevy, and she certainly is like right there for it, but just the way it all plays out, I think makes a lot of sense, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, but the Freddie Peterson line is of course so cute, and then like Ready Freddie, and he's like, they know.
Yeah.
it's pretty adorable. And for the end, I also just love, she goes, I'll be out in just a minute. You're like, yeah, right, it's gonna be fucking 45 minutes.
Yeah,
my husband's family, speaking of Catholics, calls it the Stations of the Cross every time that they have to leave a family party, because you have to say goodbye to everybody and then you get talking and you're like, oh my god.
Yeah,
Like,
we always,
how long is this gonna take? Yeah.
Michelle is like the queen of, I mean, my family too, like it's I just feel like it's hard when you're like, oh, I gotta say goodbye to everyone, and it's like, okay,
yeah,
so half an
exactly,
hour.
I know. Yeah, exactly. You really got to start early, you know.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
But like again, like the very end scene, I just think is so perfect. I also do love that they have her come in and go back out and come in and go back out. I think
It's
that's
so
really cute.
cute.
It makes the last time when she doesn't come back in like really, I feel like hit.
Oh, it makes it stick. Yeah, it really stings.
And you know what is like we definitely have referenced this together and on the show, and I think it's out there of like when Dorothy's like, oh, I never expected this your friendship at this point in my life.
Yeah.
But you know, that delivery and that like, I don't know, I just think it's so applicable to any friendship that kind of develops out of nothing, which you know, like is kind of like all friendships and relationships, and it's just so nice. And I love so much that the show ends in the way that it ends, and there's this like celebration of the four of them, and then I think like again, like as we have referenced, like the three of them, I think is it's a really, really powerful and well executed visual of like this is our new reality.
Yeah, totally. And like like I said before, of like the meta-ness of it, right? Of just not only Bea Arthur herself leaving the show, Dorothy leaving the characters in the show, but the actual audience leaving this show, like leaving the characters, like where she says, it's been an experience that I'll always keep close to my heart. And then, oh my God, Bea Arthur gasps right after that line. Holy shit. It just like I just immediately sobbed. Like it's just like drenched. She's like, these are memories I'll wrap myself in when the world gets cold, when I forget there are people that are warm and loving. And like it's really, really exciting. Like, because it really captures the way that I certainly feel about this show and about, you know, I mean, why we have the podcast, why so many of you are listening to this podcast, why you so many of you listen to everything that, you know, anybody talks about the Golden Girls ever, because there is something about this show and there is this moment where it's important to us in all of our lives, you know, outside of television, because there are so many reminders of our lives outside of television, our relationships that we have, you know, our friendships, especially our relation to family members, how we think about the world and how we move through the world, like all of those, that line specifically of like, she's like, the memories that I'll wrap myself in when the world gets cold is like, all that says to me is like, what, it's the comfort show that people watch when they're sad and they need a little bit of a hug, you know? It's like, this is literally what Golden Girls fans are talking about right here. And it's really, really beautiful. And obviously no better person to deliver it than Bea Arthur.
Yeah, 100% agree. And I think it's nice because you kind of said something to this effect in the episode, the last episode when Dorothy and Blanche and Sophia never say to Kirsten like we're more Rose's family than you. It just like it doesn't need to be said, you know,
Yeah.
it's like not a thing that needs to be out there. And I feel like it's not Dorothy saying like you guys are my family more than like you know, my actual family, but it is Dorothy saying, like, you are my family in a different way, and you give me something different. And like, I feel like it's just such a perfect way to end the show, like talking about how this relationship that's like kind of unconventional and unexpected and from the audience perspective, like odd to see these women, you know, like so anchored in friendship and their day-to-day life like is
Yeah.
about who they live with and their best friends. And I think it is like it's just the perfect way to end it. I remembered when we did the Trial by Pilot podcast, which is if you're not aware, this podcast that it's a great podcast that looks at the pilot episodes of shows and like just judges them on that. And I was like, oh, if there was a reverse one and this finale, like
Oh.
I was really impressed. And not that I didn't expect to be, but I don't know that I was prepared to like the finale and to appreciate the way that it ends as much as I do.
Yeah. It's like when I thought about the finale, when I think about the finale, before I watch this now in the scholarly way, you know, I always think of the ending. because I'm such a sucker for the words and like the delivery and like, you know, that you're angels, all of you, you'll always be my sisters, always, like that moment. And of course I think of that plus the toilet paper dress, like everybody does, but there's so much more to this than I really thought, in terms of everything we've discussed so far, of just like how each of them have their own little moments of heaviness but also of levity, how the progression of Lucas and Dorothy's relationship, albeit quick, is really natural and feels right to the end viewer. Obviously a huge thanks in part to their actual real life chemistry, but also just that it's like it acknowledges how far every single person, all four of them, have come so far throughout the whole series. It really is a great cap in that way. And I think, again, to your point of like thinking back to the pilot, of how different they all were, not only in their relationship to each other, and how it was in its beginnings, but yeah, just in how they think about life and how they think about where they want to be, you know, as they continue to age. It's really great, but it's a good idea. We should tell Bill and Elizabeth from Trial by Pilot, they should do Trial by Finale.
Yeah.
But you have to pick different shows, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Or if ones you don't remember the pilot for, I guess. But yeah, it's so incredible. And it's been, you know, it's been such a great ride looking at the show so closely through these lenses. So thanks for doing that with me.
Yeah. Thank you. I really loved it. I think it's like, it's such a different, yeah, to your point, it's such a different way to watch the show. And also it's such a different way to talk about things that come up in the show. I think there are themes that warrant a little bit more of a deeper discussion. And I think it's really, I'm really grateful that we had the platform and the opportunity to jump into some of those things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm going to continue to watch that. And I think we talked about this a little on our, you know, notes episode of like how like it kind of is going to change the way I look at all TV really now, you know, and just like thinking about why I like something, because there are shows and movies, of course, that I like because, you know, it's just other, what I would deem more like superficial reasons, where it's like I can't necessarily relate, but it's just funny, or, you know, I laugh, or like, you know, like I think Arrested Development is a great, you know, example of that for me. Like, it's not, there's not a lot of like lessons there.
No.
But like there's a relatability. We're veering away from relatability again. But I think that there, you know, there is a humor to it, and it makes me feel very light in my own life, which is very different from how I feel about this show, because it's such a reflection of how I move about the world and like the kind of person I am and want to be and how I relate to everything, like I said before. So yeah, it's been a really awesome experience. And also just like the community we've met, you know, thank you to everybody listening out there who, if this is your first episode you've heard, or like, you know, literally your, you know, 200th or what have you, and all of like the scholars we talked to and all of the people who have just interacted with us in the past, like, you know, as Dorothy says, you know, the Golden Girls say, you'll always be a part of us. So it's really, I think it's like, it's such a cool community. And that has been a very big surprise, I think, emanating from you and I having a forum to chit chat about our favorite show.
Yeah, totally. Definitely. And I feel like also when I was done watching the finale, I was kind of like, okay, like now I want to watch like a different episode. So I also think it'll be fun to kind of go back to just like whenever it's on, I'll watch it now.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of sticking with the party line, as it were, to stay true to the scholarship.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Well, hopefully it's not fully goodbye. You know, we'll stop by and visit maybe from Hollingsworth Manor every now and again. But that's it. Just, you know, we'll still be around on Instagram for a bit at least, and at enoughwicker.com. And yeah, please reach out, and thanks again. This has been absolutely stellar.
Yeah, it's really
You're
been the
angels,
best.
All of you.
And quick plug, if you're in the New York City area, we are going to have a little party on April 20th to celebrate Edna's Reefers and the end of Enough Wicker. So there will be some info about that on our Instagram, but also obviously feel free to email info@enoughwicker.com if you want some more, if you want to know where we'll be. And we'd love to hang out.
Woohoo! Perfect. Well, that's all I've got. What about you?
That's it. Wrap it up.
All right. All right. Take care, everybody.